it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that lion boy's on the right, babe. Not that Maggie.
Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum, ba-dum, bum. Back in time.
On the fan. McMonagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours. We take you to the warm-up show at 5. Fliegelman on the other side. And we're taking your calls at 888-808-1019. The day after, a little bit of retrospective after Reaction Monday to the first NFL season, first NFL game. Both teams with losses. But we're going to start with the Giants, as the news coming out of Giant camp today is the head coach, after what was a horrible day for him in every way, shape, and form. I have been a defender of Brian Daboll. I wanted Brian Daboll back. I've been the guy telling you that, you know, Josh Allen was helped develop. And let's just start there for a second real quick, because I've heard so many people. Yes, he's not the reason Josh Allen is the MVP. Josh Allen is the reason he's the MVP. No one associated, no coach, no, his parents, not the coaches he's had through high school, through NFL, through nobody is responsible for Josh Allen becoming Josh Allen other than Josh Allen and his immense talent. That's that. We get that. But the idea that Brian Daboll had nothing to do with it, I'm not in the mood to give him any credit for anything right now because he was atrocious yesterday or now Sunday. But can we stop saying he has nothing to do with Josh Allen? He does. That's why he got hired. Doesn't make him a good head coach. And right now, it doesn't feel like he is. But can we stop saying he had nothing to do with it? We know that Josh Allen's super talented. Nobody helped Lamar Jackson. Nobody helped Josh Allen. It's not Andy Reid that made Patrick Mahomes. You know, it goes on and on and on. Tom Brady wasn't made by Bill Belichick. Walsh didn't make Joe Montana or Steve Young. We get it, but there are people who helped along the way. Now, he's got to figure out how to help Jackson Dart and how to figure out how to help Russell Wilson. And the news coming out of camp today, obviously, out of Giants, is that Russell Wilson will continue to be the quarterback after being non-committal right after the game. And even though I'm pissed at him, and I think every Giant fan is, and rightfully so, I do agree with the decision. Russell Wilson should continue to be the quarterback of the New York Giants. That was the only prudent thing to do. It's one game. It's 1 week. It's a game where the offensive line didn't play well. They're still without their all-pro left tackle. And more than that, more than anything else, because we know where this team is headed. Even on a good year, even if the Giants from this point on impress us, make us feel good about things, go as well as it could possibly go from here till week 18, it's still going to be a team that doesn't probably come anywhere near the postseason. So we know where this season is going. And the idea that Jackson Dart coming in behind this offensive line with this team right now in week 2 of this season is somehow going to change anything. Because if it's about wins and losses, because that's what I think most people who want Jackson Dart to come in and be the quarterback of the Giants, it's not about the development of Jackson Dart. It really isn't. If it's about the development of Jackson Dart, they came up with a plan for the development of Jackson Dart. We have seen quarterbacks be thrusted into terrible situations and end up being the worst for it. We've seen quarterbacks who come in and are the better for it, sure. But there is a plan behind Jackson Dart. If you are today screaming about Russell Wilson can't be the quarterback. If you are out there today screaming, as I know Tommy Lugauer is and many Giant fans are, that it's time to see Jackson Dart, the only reason you're doing it is because you were fed up with Sunday's performance. You are fed up with no touchdowns on opening game. You are fed up with watching this team play, and they need the spark. They need the energy. They need something from Jackson Dart. And let me just tell you something right now. I don't know what you expect from Jackson Dart, but as great as he was in the preseason, this isn't the preseason. Russell Wilson played well in the preseason. The idea that Jackson Dart is going to come in and solve all the ills, or it's only, like, the only benefit of it is to watch the young man play and just to feel like it doesn't matter if we win or lose. And I'm not at the point right now just yet where it doesn't matter if they win or lose, and I'm just focused on the development of the young quarterback. And further, more than that, I am not putting him in this situation. And that's why, as much as I went over this yesterday, and I talked about how Jameis Winston has been relegated to the third-string quarterback, and the Giants would look foolish. The Giants would look foolish if they make the decision to go to Jameis Winston instead of Jackson Dart, who they themselves designated as the second overall starting quarterback. He's the second-string quarterback. They designated that. And Keith actually sent me a message, and he was talking about it. I overheard him that they did this with Tommy DeVito and Drew Lock last year. That is not the same thing. I'm sorry, that's just not the same thing. Tommy DeVito and Drew Lock are not the same thing as your franchise quarterback who you moved up into the first round to go get. When you designate him anything, there is a purpose behind it. There is a reason behind it, and there will be a reaction from the fan base. No one cares about Tommy DeVito versus Drew Lock on a dead season after they decide they can't play Danny Dimes anymore. That's not the same thing as whether or not you are going to make decisions and give him a designation and then take it away from him. That puts them in a weird spot. But having said that, as much as I've been thinking about it now this day, here's what I'll tell you. And me and Fleegs were talking about it before the show. I need all three quarterbacks dressed for this game against Dallas. I know that they don't have Lawrence anymore. He's with Seattle. And I know that obviously Micah Parsons is in Green Bay. And I don't know the edge rush that has just absolutely blown up the New York Giants. What every single time they've played for the last 6 years is not the same anymore. And that front four probably isn't as good as the Washington front four. And I do, on some level, expect this Giants offensive line to play better in week 2. I don't know how much better. Not better enough to put my first-round pick behind it to start his NFL career on the road against a divisional opponent who has owned the New York Giants off of what we just saw. By not only did the New York Giants make the right decision, not putting Jackson Dart as the starting quarterback and continuing with Russell Wilson, I will tell you that I don't care what happens. Jackson Dart cannot see the field week 2. Cannot see the field. If something goes with Russ, you're going to Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston better be in uniform. Jameis Winston better be ready to go. Because I am not putting Jackson Dart into a situation off of that week's performance in week 1 against Washington, and where now he's suddenly thrusted into a situation where, you know, Russell Wilson got hurt, or Russell Wilson is getting run for his life, and Russell Wilson is ineffective. I am not putting that quarterback in that spot. Forget it. Don't even think about it. In fact, what am I saying? Why even have all three dressed? Don't dress Jackson Dart. Oh, you can't do that because you called him the second-string quarterback. And that will cause controversy that nobody wants.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The idea of going to Jackson Dart makes zero sense to me. Zero at this point. Zero. And I'm also like, they went out and got Russell Wilson for a purpose. I know he didn't play well week one. Do you want to go through the NFL and see the quarterbacks who didn't play well week one? Like, and behind the offensive line that he played behind, there were plays to be made. He missed them. It's very similar. Like we said, everything yesterday was Monday was very similar to what we've seen from the New York Giants for years. For years. Including plays to be made and the quarterback unable to make it because he's already checking down because he doesn't trust the time he's going to get from the offensive line. It was day one, game one, with this new Giant team and an offensive line that was getting beat at the point of attack like a drum. Now, I can't trust to put my young quarterback behind that off of that game, off of the tape that game will show. But I also have seen this Giant team and that offensive line be better than that. We've seen games, specifically week one. The Cowboys 40-0. I don't care. Like, I know this is what everyone likes to say. It doesn't matter what quarterback's back there. You could have Patrick Mahomes back there. You could have Tom Brady back there. You could have any quarterback. You could have Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. No one's winning with that offensive line. And I've always pushed back, and I will continue to push back, but there are certainly games where that is true. I think that's probably true for last week. It certainly has been true for a lot of these openers. 2 years ago, 40-0 Cowboys. Ain't nobody, maybe score some points, but ain't nobody winning that game with the way the Cowboys dominated that offensive line after Andrew Thomas got hurt on the blocked field goal and was out of that game. Nobody. Nobody. But if you look at last year, the offensive line, Tracy still did run for 800 yards. They still, like, at some point, they played well enough where you could have some functionality as an offense. And to me, this is on the coach. I don't want to, and we talk about whether or not, you know, Brian Daboll can prove himself. We're waiting to find out. The only thing left is to see if Jackson Dart can develop. Nonsense. I completely disagree with that statement. I completely disagree with it because that's the other thing who people want to see Jackson Dart. It's that we need to find out if we have a coach. And as much as I'll tell you, he was hired because he wanted, because of his helping in the development of Josh Allen, and to have him come here and be fired without ever giving him that young quarterback to develop always seems stupid to me. And that's why I wanted him back, because I thought he deserved this opportunity. It's why he was hired. You got to give him a chance. And I am interested to see what Jackson Dart looks like under Brian Daboll. And I do think Brian Daboll has done a relatively decent enough job with some terrible quarterbacks. He made Tommy DeVito a household name. He got that man a contract selling pizza sauce. I don't know who else could have done that. He went from not being allowed to throw the football against the Jets to beating the Green Bay Packers. We saw he won a playoff game with Daniel Jones. And I know Daniel Jones now is the greatest quarterback in the NFL. We'll see. We'll see. And as much as I do want to see him coach Jackson Dart, and obviously how Jackson Dart looks whenever they decide to play him from that point on is going to be a huge, huge part of whether or not this regime remains in power next year. But I'm sorry. They brought in this quarterback. He's supposed to be an offensive guy. Not only does he help develop quarterbacks, he was the offensive coordinator. We heard Diggs and other players that played in Buffalo and talk about what a great coach he is, how incredibly talented he is, how he puts his players in position to be successful. We've heard all his former players in Buffalo say all that crap. You know what? I don't think Jackson Dart is the only player left to find out about Brian Daboll. He's got to give me a better offense than this. And he was the one, him and Joe Shane went out and got this quarterback at the age of 38 or however old Russell Wilson is. I want to see him take the quarterback that he chose to be the starting quarterback while we wait for Jackson Dart and give me something. I want to see him with Russell Wilson give me something. They've been working all camp. They've been working all offseason. He brought in this guy. He's sticking with this guy. I want to see something against the Dallas Cowboys. It's time. I've defended this coach. I've been behind this coach. I thought it was right to bring him back. That game on Sunday was unacceptable. The play calling, particularly in the red zone, the offensive game plan, the whole bit. I'm not putting on a quarterback. I'm not putting it solely on the offensive line. The coach was awful. The coach was awful. And I don't want to immediately go right to Jackson Dart behind that offensive line. I don't want to go immediately to Jackson Dart and just, it's all about his development. I want to see this coach with the quarterback he picked to lead this team, and I want to see him show me that he somehow, in the entire offseason, has come up with a game plan to make it functional with Russell Wilson. He owes us that. He owes me that. I want to find out about this coach. I know he can develop quarterbacks, or at least I believe he can develop quarterbacks. Can he play? Can he have a functioning offense? Can he make it work? Can he get first downs on third down? Can he put the ball into the freaking end zone? Can he come up with a game plan, even if the offensive line is subpar? Figure out a way to make it work. And I don't want to go, I don't want to put that, you know, screen over him already and go, well, listen, that's not going to work, so let's just see about Jackson Dart. No! Go make it work with the guy you brought here. How about the two quarterbacks you brought here? One of them better show me something against the Dallas Cowboys. And I don't even care about the wins and losses. They better score some points. They better have an offense that looks like it can go up and down the field. And when they get in the red zone, they better have a better sequence than what we saw on Sunday. Because that, like, forget everything else. Forget everything else. The play calling inside the red zone, inside the 5-yard line, was laughable. Laughable. And today, it was so focused on who's going to play quarterback. And where they brought in Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, for all of his flaws and for all of his faults and for what he was and what he is now and everything else, he took the Pittsburgh Steelers to the playoffs in the AFC. They didn't do well when they got there. He didn't play well the last few weeks. I get it. He took them to the playoffs. He was the starting quarterback for a playoff team last year. Don't tell me he went from a starting quarterback on a playoff team last year to a guy who isn't functioning to score a touchdown. We want to find out about this coach? You want to decide whether or not he's the man? It's not just about whether or not he can make Jackson Dart look like a starting quarterback in this league. It's whether or not he can come up with a game plan with a quarterback he brought in that he decided to make the starter over the young Jackson Dart. That he's sticking with for week two against the Dallas Cowboys. Show me that you have something up your sleeve. Because if you don't, even if you develop Jackson Dart, I'm going to have a real tough time believing that this guy is going to be capable of sculpting an offense inside this league. You've got to give me. So I'm not saying you got to go out there and score 40. But can you get in the end zone? Can you make it look like you had a plan? How about we get through a game without getting into a fight with our star wide receiver? How about that? How about you? The first play inside the red zone goes to your star wide receiver instead of a tackle? This is not about Jackson Dart yet. And I don't want to make it about Jackson Dart, and I'm glad he didn't. This is about him. This is about the head coach of the New York Giants and whether or not he's capable of putting together a game plan against the team he should know pretty well because they've kicked his ass every single day since he's been here. They're going to have the extra few days because they played on Thursday. They're coming off a game where they felt like they could have beaten the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a tough game for the New York Giants. Every game's a tough game for the New York Giants. But all of the enthusiasm, all of the hype, all of the positivity, all of the different things that went into this offseason, I still believe this is the best roster they've had probably in Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's career. I know they don't have the star running back. I understand that. I understand Saquon Barkley was with that team. But outside of that, I still think this roster's just as good, if not better. It is better. Go out there and have a functioning offense. That's it. That's my edict for the game. And I don't want it to be about Jackson Dart. It's not about Jackson Dart yet. It's not. It will be soon enough. I'm not putting that kid behind an offensive line that played the way it did last week. I'm not putting that kid behind an offensive line that doesn't have Andrew Thomas's name under the left tackle spot. And I'm not hiding this coach behind, well, now it's about the development of the quarterback. It's not yet. It's not yet. Because you sold us on trying to win games while you develop Josh, while you develop Jackson Dart. You told us that you can have an offense here. You have a star wide receiver. You have a good running back room. You have what should be a pass-catching tight end. You have weapons inside this offense. You've made, you know, you went out and added Hudson and other guys to bolster the depth of this offensive line. It's supposed to be better, even with without Andrew Thomas, than it was without Andrew Thomas last year. Everything's supposed to be better. I'm not ready to just say it's about the development of Jackson Dart. No, it's not. It's about whether or not this coach can find an offense. There was only one choice to make, and at least he started the right way. Russell Wilson will be back next week. He should be back next week. He's the starting quarterback of this team. That's their decision. Show me why you made it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll take your calls. We'll get to the frustrating loss that is the Mets, and now it is official. Hey, Evan, you can stop asking Sal Licata every single day. The division is over. The National League East is over. The Mets are three games up on a wild card. The offense just went ice cold. They lost 1-0 to a team that lost two of their star players, doesn't have their ace starting pitcher, and they got shut down by a guy with a 7 ERA this year. The division is long gone, and it's about finding their best team with the rest of these 18, 19 games, however many the Mets have left, putting together a rotation and getting ready for what will probably be three games on the road to decide whether or not they're worthy to play in the NLDS. We'll get to the miserable at-bats at the end of the game from Jeff McNeil and Alvarez. We'll get to the pitching performance, obviously, of McClain and how he continues to impress and how he joined the pantheon yesterday of great Met pitching. I'll explain later. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We open with the Giants. We'll get to the Jets as well. You can tell me whether or not you buy into the, oh my God, the Jets lost the game the same way they did every year for the last 15 years, or do you believe that there was a lot to take out of that game and you're a positive Jet fan heading into week two? It feels like the team, the fan base is split. Let me know who you are. And obviously, we start with the New York Giants, the correct decision to start Russell Wilson, and whether or not this coach, who I have praised despite his miserable record the last 2 years, showing us some sort of offense with the guy he picked to run the team and not hide behind the idea of, well, I'm developing a quarterback. Not yet. Not week two, you're not.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.